the sound of clapping hands, a ritual performed to show respect to the spirits of my people, the Shona in Zimbabwe, a country in Southern Africa. This is usually accompanied by an intonation asking for guidance and permission from the spirits of the land and area one has entered before proceeding with the chosen mission. Even in the city where I stay, it is common to clap one's hands, but here in a remote area called Chikupo, it had a special meaning. I had heard tales of a mountain which breathed fire when it rained, a mountain which could speak, and where a wrong word would make you disappear from the face of the earth. My mission was to see this mountain and to understand how these mysterious events could take place. It is there that I met Elias Muchapondwa, an advisor to the chief who is truly rooted in the traditional beliefs of his people. Under a tree close to the mountain, he sat down with me to talk.
During the rainy season, when there was a drizzle, this mountain would be burning. The fire could not be put out. You would only see this large flame burning without stopping, and at the same time, it would be raining. This was a sign that for that particular year, there would be a bumper harvest of beans.
It is a large granite dome with a few trees scattered on its slopes. There are many such mountains in Zimbabwe which are considered holy and sacred. According to Elias, the original people who lived in the area were buried in caves in the mountain.
It is their spirits which cause all these things to happen in the area.
I felt like an outsider in the story of my traditional past. I had been taught in the schools to always seek a scientific conclusion to problems. My traditional past, though, leaves enough room for strange and unnatural events in the lives of the people. Were there any other signs to show that the mountain was indeed supernatural?
When the sun was setting, cows would moo and people could be heard talking, but these people would be invisible to the eye. We could hear the actual talking. The cows and calves would moo, but to actually see these things was impossible.
The idea of sounds without sources was hard for me to fathom, and I asked Elias to explain to me how this phenomenon could take place.
Our ancestors used to call them Madzimu Dzangara. Today, they can be likened to a wireless radio. It is transmitted from a faraway place, but you can hear it here. Do we see the people talking then? No, I do not see them. If you play your music there, I can dance to it here. So likewise, these voices would come into our ears. Anyone could hear the voices.
In order for me to understand these beliefs, which were supposed to be my beliefs, I needed to go back to the basics of the religious tenets of my people. According to these beliefs, when a man dies, his spirit remains with the living people. This spirit finds a living human being who becomes the medium of the dead person. It is through this medium that the living people communicate with the dead man. The dead man will then communicate with Mwari or God on behalf of the living people. In the case of the sacred mountain, Mwari sends his message to the people of Chikupo through the spirits of the people who lived in the area. In turn, the spirits cause the supernatural events to take place on the mountain.
What Mwari wants only is the truth. The world would be a better place if people knew this. Motor cars and mansions to live in do not bring out a better person. What Mwari wants is a holy person, good deeds, something which has not been tainted by the blood of another person.
These beliefs stood before me as imposing as the Nyaungwe Mountain. Now and again I looked at the mountain, but there was no sign to show that it was in any way holy and sacred. Could the mountain be supernatural in any way?
We black people, our strength was in our ancestral spirits. So when the white people came, they realized that these people had the source of their power from their own god. They used their own god, a god we did not know, a god who stayed in heaven. But then our god was never far away from us.
From what Elias explained to me, I thought that the mountain had lost its power. But he recounted the story involving his two sons and a nephew who had come from the city. The two sons went up the mountain to collect some birds' eggs. The nephew decided to follow them up the mountain without having performed the appropriate rituals.
When my two sons were descending down the mountain, my nephew saw them as apparitions and not as people. He rolled down from a ledge on the mountain and received bruises. We had to take him to hospital where he was treated. I asked later on and I said, what were you doing up a mountain you do not know anything about?
Was his fall from the top of the mountain caused by the power of the mountain? At the end of my encounter with the people of Chikupo, I embarked on my journey back to the city. I looked at the large dome, imposing and silent, and wondered what secrets it held. The distance between me and the mountain grew. And likewise, the gulf between the traditional beliefs and the modern way of living, as influenced by Western thinking, had grown wider, leaving the African people with a dilemma as to what was possible spiritually.
You must believe in the traditional way of life in order for you to understand how these things work. You have to believe.
Ndozvatinoita vapachivanhu kutendera.